Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL here on a Coming to America edition of In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Happy Halloween Eve here in Odyssey, Houston. We got our costume party today. So
we
If you are watching on any of the visual mediums that we happen to broadcast our show, I am dressed up as Akeem from Eddie Murphy's role of Coming to America. John Lopez is also an Eddie Murphy character. He's Saul from the barbershop, the old Jewish man. And of course,
Muhammad Ali,
our very own Figgy Fig, dressed up as Cleo McDowell. From that very
get the hell out of here before I bust that camera.
Having a lot of fun, as you heard with the intro there. But yeah, let's go around the NFL. There wasn't a football game last night, but there will be one tonight. Thursday night football. It's a couple of teams that are actually behind you in everything. It's the Ravens and the Dolphins. However, the return of Lamar Jackson will be interesting here. Well, I should ask this as a question. John Lopez, do you have any interest in this game? Is this going to be one of those ones that you just go, nah, I'm not really trying to look at?
Hey, it's football on a Thursday.
That's a no.
Lamar Jackson.
When you start with, hey, it's football.
No, but with Lamar Jackson coming back. By the way, you know, in Baltimore, it just tells you like some of the when you have the, what do you like to call them? When you have the pedigree, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about, can they get back into it now that Lamar Jackson is back? Dude.
That's their only chance, to be honest.
I'm like, what?
If we're being real, that's their only chance.
They're worse than the Texans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they can.
Yeah.
Bonafides.
If they can't get back in it when he's there,
right,
then it's definitely over.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing, right? They were bad when he was there first time.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. This is a puncher. This is a Hail Mary right
that's
here.
That's exactly what it is. But and against this Dolphins team that's been so up and down, so problematic, it feels like this should be a game where if they have any chance of getting back into it, which, of course, as Texans fans, I don't know that you want by any means.
Right.
They would need to look pretty good, I think, tonight. For that to happen. In fact, I've been looking at Yahoo Sports. Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports put together a panic meter. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things like, hey, you know, Lamar Jackson's return is like not panicking, but let's see what it looks like when he returns. Well, that's tonight. A couple of other things that he put on the panic meter was talking about Tomlin and his future there.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of has the panic meter a little bit high for a lot of the Steelers. It's like they're in an awkward spot.
Yeah. Jacksonville this week, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the one that
the Colts.
Right, there we go.
Yeah,
there you
yeah.
go. The one that I thought was the most interesting, Niners defense.
Mm-hmm.
He puts the panic meter in a place where he goes, that game against the Texans might be a sign of things to come.
Hey, you're welcome. It looked a lot worse than I thought it could even be possible, you know, against the Texans. Now, credit the Texans.
Right, was surprised that it ended up looking like that to some degree. But, yes, again, credit to the Texans. Now, with this game, there are some pieces that people have talked about, namely Devon Achane, that people talk about. Could that be a trade, especially with how poor the Miami Dolphins have looked and with the ways in which it feels like they are coming to the end of an era with Mike McDaniel as the head coach, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to piece this beyond, because I don't know that you have a quarterback that you feel is your franchise guy. Do you think you could get Devon Achane, especially when we're headed towards the trade deadline? Yeah. I think there's two names running back-wise that are interesting for the Texans. Devon Achane is one of those, ooh, this could be local really, guy. Really good. Local guy, went to A&M. Or Breece Hall is those names. If you had the option, understanding the cost, right? We're not moving away from the cost. The cost has to be considered here.
Yeah.
Do you go for Devon Achane, who might be a higher priced buy, or do you want to further solidify the Iowa State collective with Breece Hall?
I think I would go and lean Achane. The speed is, we know it. I mean, we know what he can do. Obviously underrated between the tackles. People always say, well, he's a speed guy, he's an edge guy. He can run between the tackles some, and he has. Again, local guy, not just A&M, but locally here. And also, hey, the trade deadline, we mentioned this week already, is Tuesday. You know, it's coming up. So this game in itself is going to have a lot to do with that. And then you have the assets. You have 2 fourth-round picks in this coming draft. I don't know if a fourth is too high. Maybe not. Maybe. But you also have all 8 picks next year as well.
Would you be okay with the fourth? Devon Achane is a guy that you feel comfortable saying he can be our lead back
in a heartbeat
for some years, right?
In a heartbeat.
The way I think about it is Woody Marsh is a 4th-round pick, and I think you take him, and I don't know that you look at him and go, he is our back for the next.
Achane's like, better.
Leading
put
back.
It that way.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know that you had that, especially with the questions around Joe Mixon right now. I don't know, and the age, which maybe
and
is
age with Mixon and age with Chubb,
right?
You know,
so maybe that could be worthwhile. I'd just be interested in seeing how, you know, at what price the Dolphins would be willing to sell.
Fourth
him
sound
off
right
for.
To you, or not enough?
I'd very much want to see.
Yeah,
like that one feels like that'd be probably around the thought process. Speaking of trades, the Eagles reportedly traded for cornerback Michael Carter II from the Jets, and you go, why are you bringing this up? Because what they send in return, John Mechie. John Mechie, you are a New York Jet.
Hey, you know what? I've seen mixed sort of reviews on this. I think that's a good spot for him.
Do you?
I really do. You know, like the Jets.
They don't got a quarterback, dog.
Well, I know. The Jets have their issues, but he's going to play. I mean,
are their receivers that bad? I mean, I'm not disrespectful to John Mechie, but. Yeah. Like, is he coming in and playing right away?
Well, if you're trading for him, you have plans for him. And so, you know, the opportunity to play.
Well, we would have said that for the Eagles, and I didn't see very many plans materialize there, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering, are they in need of a receiver? Or, you know, are they trying to roll the dice on a receiver that could possibly be good?
Yeah, I mean, let me talk to you about this wide receiving core for the New York Jets. Garrett Wilson clearly there, but there's been some injury issues there, right? Alan Lazard is one of their receivers.
He ain't playing over him.
Fourth-round pick, Arian Smith, who does not really grab my attention necessarily. Are you familiar with the Tyler Johnson?
Didn't we have him?
It sounds very familiar.
Do you know about an Isaiah Williams?
Isaiah Williams. Yeah, see, I think it's good for
him. It look like he got a chance to play.
Yeah.
It sounds like he could be a number three, to be honest.
Yeah.
He has a chance to play. The question I have is just, what does it actually look like if he does play? Because, again, Tyrod Taylor's been up there dealing with an injury. Justin Fields has been I mean, I knew that he was there as a gap quarterback. Right. There's been some difficulties there, even though they ultimately got their victory, their first victory of the season this past weekend. It's just more power to him. Obviously, I wish Mechie well, obviously. Like, we know the trials and tribulations that he's had to overcome to maintain this spot here. But yeah, that is where John Mechie now lands after.
You just need to get on the field at this
point.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why I think it's good for him.
Yeah.
Hopefully we see him on the field. Remember, Football Talk here on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today. All right, CBS Sports, they put up their all-rookie team, John Lopez.
They sure did, midway through the season.
Yeah, the midway point. With that being the case.
Have you looked at it?
I haven't.
All right, let's play the guessing game. And then there's something I want to talk about specifically on this. Quarterback.
Quarterback for
all-rookie team, midway point.
Jackson Dart.
Yeah. My guy. I was Jackson Dart when Jackson Dart wasn't cool. Running backs?
Running back. I got to be Judkins.
You guys
Judkins
are good.
Yeah, I was like, Judkins.
Quinshon
yeah,
Judkins.
Nah, he been playing pretty good.
Wide receiver.
Who are my wide receivers rookie?
One of them's a layup.
It got to be Abuka.
Abuka's the layup.
Oh, yeah, Mecca. Goodness gracious.
Then they also have Tet McMillan.
Tet's been good, too. It's okay. Just he played for Carolina, and they haven't gotten a lot of victories.
And Travis Hunter.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Tight end's a layup.
That's a little stretch.
Yeah, that's Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren's the layup.
You know what? I need to check in on Colston Loveland because that's a tight end that I liked, but I have not thought very much about since.
Yeah. And then I'm going to skip the offensive line because there's something I want to talk about with that.
Oh, so you're just not going to let me talk about Ariante Arcery. Okay. That's
well,
how it is.
Spoiler alert, not on the list. Defense, defensive edge rushers, one of them's a layup for sure. Or defensive line. Abdul Carter.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was thinking Abdul Carter, but the only name I could think of was Kayvon Thibodeau, and I was like, wrong year.
Then Jamari Caldwell and Mason Graham. I'm rolling through some of these because I want to talk about something here. Linebackers, Carson Schwessinger.
Yeah, Schwessinger's been really good.
And it's a lot of Browns.
There's a lot of Browns on there. Jihad Campbell. Cornerbacks, Will Johnson and Trey Amos. And then we have Nick Amonwori. As a safety.
Yeah, M.M. Worry, we saw him just recently with the Seattle Seahawks. He's been really good. He's been flying around kind of like
real good. He's going to be really, really good. He's long-term. You know he's going to be good. And Craig Woodson. Now, let's go to the offensive line.
Yes, sir.
This is something that us and a lot of fans and a lot of people have scratched their heads about. I'm going to give you the names. Kelvin Banks Jr.
Yes.
Gray Zabel.
Yes.
Jared Wilson from the Patriots.
Okay.
Tate Ratledge.
Yeah, the center, Detroit.
Detroit. And then Armand Membu.
He's with the Jets, ain't he?
From the Jets.
Yeah.
Four first-round picks.
Yeah.
Now, priorities matter. You know, getting offensive linemen in the premium rounds matters. And so all these guys, actually, it's only three. It's only three first-rounders. I had Jared Wilson,
Tate Ratledge.
I had Tate Ratledge as a first-rounder, but he's a second-round pick, 57 overall. But prioritizing the offensive line is just not something they've been good at or done a whole lot of. It's second and third-rounders. First round matters with the offensive line, just like running back. You know, the premier running backs, everybody's saying, well, you can get one in the third or fourth round. You can, and they might be good, and they might be great.
Well, some of this is also confirmation bias because there's a lot of first rounders that don't end up on there, right? You don't end up with Simmons on there.
Well, sure.
But I think that part of it was probably going to be difficult for you to get an offensive lineman on here anyways with the way just
at least
generally
this year,
your offensive line is. But then also you took because of honestly some of the ways that you invested in the offseason outside of the draft.
Well, that's part of the equation here.
Agreed. Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
You got your rookie center, or rookie rather, offensive lineman, playing the hardest position on your offensive line, which is left tackle, next to a position where you've rotated players at left guard.
Yes.
And I think that all of those things were going to make it more difficult. But I guess I was interpreting you saying that as, the actual second round draft pick. I think that they got a great player with a lot of upside in Ariante Arcery. Mm-hmm. I think the thing though is it's always going to be a learning curve with an offensive line, but then also as with anything with football, who you're surrounded by, it's always contextual. And the context is he's having a really difficult job without the easiest of help around him as well.
We didn't think he would even be a left tackle.
Right. If best case scenario, the way that the Texans were planning, he was going to be a right tackle.
Or a swing.
Or a swing tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's fair. That's what's happening with that right there. I did want to mention this because this was a thing that I saw that I just had that I found to be funny. Did you know that the NFL is doing a collaboration with Lululemon? Are you familiar with Lululemon, by the way? Because I do wonder how many people in our kind of collective space know
about it.
My wife
and daughter are.
Okay, fair.
It's kind of a bougie workout brand.
Yeah, it's like the athleisure, but for suburban housewives.
Yeah.
It's real expensive, and that did not change at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think they started allowing people to buy this a couple days ago, and I saw people on my particular social media timeline like, wait, it cost how much?
Yeah, did you see that? Did you see the price of that hoodie?
Tell me.
I think what I saw somebody post was it was a hoodie for like maybe $300.
Come on, man.
It might be about $200, $300 for a hoodie.
The question I have is, who is this for?
Well, the you say that, and I get your point.
It's probably for influencers or something, man.
Well, yes, that too, but peer pressure.
Not for people out here going to the games.
Hey, it's like...
Just give me a real jersey at this point.
It's right? It's like Jordans. You think it's just like, who can afford Jordans? Well, apparently everyone,
well,
I mean, you know, can make themselves. I think that's the niche that they're looking for. Like, yeah, but it's such a premier brand people will somehow take out a mortgage and buy stuff.
The thing is, this is a premier brand for a certain group or kind of like a certain section of people, though.
Not us.
Jordans was like a brand. Everybody and their mama wanted some Jordans.
Well, Lululemon thinks and they can be that.
And to be fair, I remember, it might have been last year, actually. I was at an outlet mall with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Neither here nor there, but we were there. And I was like, what is this big old line for? Because it's an outlet mall, right? Yeah. I'm not talking about, you know, any... And it's like, my mom was like, are they giving away money in there? Nope, it was just the Lululemon. Yes. Like, apparently the Lululemon does do numbers. I just, in my brain, I go, with the quality that NFL products typically give and with already the way mm-hmm. that they're priced, I've struggled to find the person that goes, I'm going to get the Lululemon version rather than just like a team hoodie that's already probably like $75. But
yeah, and it's not like I guess you can see the difference in the Lululemon versus something else, a regular hoodie, but... Yeah. I don't think it's that much of a change. It's not like it's Louis Vuitton and NFL collab type of deal.
No, look, man, I think this is an instance where the three of us, culturally speaking, in terms of that type of brand, it's just not we can't relate. But I think a lot of people, that is their Louis Vuitton, that is their Jordans, and they're banking on that.
I think the other thing is you really don't see NFL collab with like a brand like this either.
Yeah.
It's usually Nike, Adidas, or something like that. And I think the most recent one I seen was Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah.
And that was clear as day. It was like a Tommy Hilfiger collab where mm-hmm. you could tell it wasn't like a regular NFL thing, but like you never see, like I said, you never see them collabing with Gucci or anything like this. So this is kind of a weird one from that point too.
It is.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. And just to wrap this up here as we go around the NFL, I just like pointing and laughing generally. Did you know that the Bengals defense had a players only meeting earlier this week?
Of course they did.
They had the, I will say, one of the most interesting games of a weekend that had a lot of blowouts. They lost to, who did they lose again? It was a 39-38 loss the Bengals had this weekend. Defensive coordinator Al Golden says he doesn't know what was being discussed during the meeting. Bengals.
Hell, I don't know.
Everything's going well out there in Ohio now, ain't it?
Remember their first round pick that went through all that trouble getting signed and all that stuff?
Oh, Shamar
Stewart. Yeah. Shamar Stewart. Did y'all see his stats?
No, I did not.
Please somebody tagged me in this. Salute to the guy tagged me in this. His 2025 regular season stat, one solo tackle.
What did I say? That was another one that I before the draft.
That brother got one tackle.
And
on
that
the
dude's
year.
An Aggie, and I was here saying, I don't see it.
You know man, what you know what Lopez's response to you bring those stats?
Aha.
Aha. Aha. Aha. I told you.
All right, there you go. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio
610. Guy walks into the restaurant and says, taste my soup.
What's wrong? Is it cold?
Taste the soup.
All right, where's the spoon?
Aha.
There you go. All right, coming up next, let's talk with our guy that we talk to every Thursday, former NFL pass rusher and my favorite Nigerian-American we talk to weekly. His name is ND Kalu, and we'll talk to him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Next.
You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Thursday, where about this time every Thursday we turn to the phone line to talk to our good friend, former NFL pass rusher. He is an entrepreneur extraordinaire and a person to whom I would like to say, good morning, my neighbors! His name is Andy Kalu. Andy, I don't think you get the full effect of what's happening with that particular quote, because on the other side of this phone line from you, are three people dressed as characters from Coming to America.
That's right.
Right now.
Well, so do I respond like the movie and tell you to shut the F up?
I don't think you should, but I appreciate you.
That's good.
That.
That's a good pull right
there. You're a big fan of this movie, huh?
Oh, that's one of my favorite. I mean, it's very unrealistic and it's not a true tale. But man, that's for me and like my circle, That's one of the greats. You know, I know the masses might not feel that way, but Coming to America is top three comedy for me.
Oh, I think you'd be surprised.
I think the masses might.
There's a lot of people on the text line who've enjoyed our silly dress up to this point. And feel free at any point to drop some quotes in the course of our conversation here. But excited for this game here. Like, what are you generally most excited for in trying to find out more about this team versus the Denver Broncos?
That's what I'm excited about, trying to find out more about the Houston Texans. And look, they came off a big victory last week, but you're playing a team that's on a 5-game win streak, demolished the Dallas Cowboys. There's no question, even with San Francisco being a good team, they had a good record, and I'm not taking anything away from a victory because I know firsthand it is tough to win in the NFL. I don't care if you're playing the Cleveland Browns, if you're playing a skeleton of the Baltimore Ravens, it's tough to win in the NFL. But if you can beat a team like the Broncos, the fan base can start to, start looking at the standings. Okay, you know what? They beat a strong team. Let's see what Indianapolis is doing. That gives us the chance as fans to like start, counting victories and looking to see how they can dig out of this hole, because you're beating a top five team currently right now, in my opinion, when you beat the Denver Broncos, if you beat the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and that ties in directly with what I was going to ask you about, Andy. Yeah, you've been on an array of different teams in terms of, how good they were, quarterback play, et cetera. And we opened the show today with, Is C.J. Stroud kind of getting it now, like buying into this Patriot-style offense, whatever you want to call it? Are you seeing some of that?
Yeah, he looked more comfortable the last game. Whether or not he's now getting it mentally or he's always been getting it, but he just hasn't been comfortable in the pocket, mm-hmm. I think that plays into the protection. It plays into him trusting the line a little more. When you look at the protection, when you look at the sacks, yes, they need to do a better job. But there are some plays where he took off too early or he got happy feet a little too early. So I feel like he's starting to trust his offensive line a little bit more, and they need to continue to give him reason, to trust him. They don't need to be out there blocking one another while somebody's sacking him in record time. So the better they play, the more comfortable he could get in the pocket. And that's what I saw. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, when you have a new offensive coordinator, look, preseason, you don't open up the playbook. It's one thing to do it under controlled situations at practice, but now you're opening up the playbook. Your defenses are coming. They're coming in with different schemes. It's going to take a while to get a little bit comfortable. It's only been one or two games, so I'm not going to sit up here and say he's arrived. But the last couple of games, in my opinion, he just looked more comfortable in the pocket. He looked like that talented quarterback that had everybody believing that the Houston Texans had found their guy for the next 8 to 10 years.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
ND, one of the things that I've continued to look at with this offensive line, and I was a little surprised that Robert Saleh did not attempt to attack this offensive line with, is like twists and stunts. I know that you obviously very familiar with that, having done that in your line of work or previous line of work. What did you see from offenses that made, you know, twists and stunts the most difficult? Because obviously we're trying to find ways to see this offensive line be successful in that one place that I think could be one of their big weaknesses.
You know, that's all. That's more mental. When you start talking about twists and stunts, it's almost like blocking on punt. When you block on punt, you're literally, it's not as physical as you would think. It's more about, okay, who do I take when the guy that's lined up in the B gap, he stunts over to the A gap and somebody's looping around and you literally have less than a second to come up with the right answer. With offensive line, the longer you work together, you just get a feel. Like you can answer the right questions, but you just feel like, okay, you know what, Ed Ingram's leaning a little bit more to this way, so if this stunt comes to the off A gap, I know he's got it. Even though that might not be the way you're supposed to do it on in the playbook, you just feel one another and passing it off, but you have to get it done. So, yeah, you're right. You're surprised that the San Francisco 49ers didn't run more stunts, they didn't run more slants, or what we call games. But here's the thing, Reggie. A lot of defensive linemen hate when coaches call that because they're like, "Nah, coach, I could beat this dude one on one. Like, let me show you I could beat him one on one." So you don't like it, but you know it's effective. I remember when I played, when I would get a sack off a stunt or a game, of course I'd be excited, but I'd be like, "Oh, that's a D coordinator sack. That's not mine," because you know he called up a good game. So I wouldn't be surprised if the D linemen were telling Robert Saleh, like, "Nah, let us take a mano a mano and see if we could beat them."
Well, you mentioned defensive line, and it's hard. I mean, you have to really start being nitpicky with this defense. But I am curious on your thoughts with the interior defensive line play, because we got stars everywhere else. You know, from the edges to the cornerbacks, et cetera. What are you seeing? Like, Tommy Togiai's made a bunch of plays. Obviously, there's some other guys in the middle, because that might be something that they attack.
You know, I hear that a lot, John. Like, people – and I'm not being biased. I don't know any of these guys, so it's not like I'm just, you know, sticking up for my buddies. But when I watch the guys in the middle, I think they're the, you know, they're the underappreciated guys because you have such studs on the edges with Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson. But, man, there are plays Tim Settle Jr. makes, and I'm like, man, that dude's a dog, and a dog in a good way. Tommy Togiai, like, there's plays, and you start to say to yourself, you know what? That's why he stuck around the NFL for as long as he has, even though he wasn't, a high draft pick because of the way he plays. So, yes, there are some gashes. There are some runs in between the guards where they pick up more yards than we would typically like to see. Mm-hmm. And I just marked that down to, hey, this is the NFL. When it's all said and done, this defense is still holding teams to less points per game than any other defense in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. So that's something I look at. When you look at the gashes up the middle, a lot of times you have to look at not just the D tackles, the three techniques, but you have to look at the linebackers because there's plays where the defensive tackles, the three techniques, the interior defensive linemen, they're in the gap they're supposed to be in, and a play still goes for big yards in between the tackles, and everyone's saying, oh, what's going on with the defensive line? And I'm not saying – I'm just talking in generalities. Yeah. And then – you know, it's like, well, the middle linebacker was in the same gap as the three technique. So that's why. So, but when I watch them and I specifically, it's to the point now I don't do it on purpose, but when I'm watching a game, I'm only watching the trenches and I don't feel like I say to myself a lot of times, like, oh man, that D tackle was out of place or he got pushed back.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to ND Kalu here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I always love digging into your insight on defense and it becomes even more interesting facing off against this Broncos team. He really good defense. However, a big cut to what they're doing there in Patrick Surtain being out. They play so much man, and he takes away so much of the field. How do you anticipate that maybe changing the way that they play coming in this week after being like a heavy, heavy cover one man team?
Hey, you know, it's funny. When I heard about that, and you also hear about their pass rush, they have the most sacks in the NFL. If Patrick – so is it official he's out?
Has he been official?
Yeah, he's out.
Okay, I didn't realize that. So I was telling my buddy of mine, I was all, watch, instead of just focusing on whoever his backup is, who's going to be in place and how that affects the one-on-one matchups as far as the receivers and the cornerbacks, watch how it affects the pass rush. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're not going to have any sacks against the Texans, because if I say it, then they're going to have five sacks, and people are going to be like, that's why that dumbass ain't on the radio. but my point is, when you have a shutdown corner like that, it really helps the guys up front, because it gives you that extra half second, and you'll be surprised how long that is on the field to get at that quarterback, to get after that quarterback. So we might see a situation, Reggie, one where – and if you're Nick Haley, you have to test the guy out.
Sure.
You have to say, hey, I don't know if it's Chris Drains or whatever his name is, the backup. I don't know who it is, but first series, Nico Collins, we're going to attack him. Like, let's just see if he's ready for today's game. Yeah, especially if it's a rookie. Like, if they don't attack him three times minimum in the first quarter, that's not good. And I don't care about, oh, well, we're on this hash mark and, in this situation, we don't care who's on the field. This is what we run. No. Like, sometimes football is, you just got to let your nuts drop and you got to go test somebody out and make them prove to you, like, oh, this guy's good. Like, we have to respect him. When I was with Philadelphia, we had one of the best defensive backfields. We had Brian Dawkins, Bobby Taylor, Troy Vincent. We were so good. We had a guy by the name of Al Harris who was a backup corner. And he was a stud. Any other team, he would have started. And one of our cornerbacks went out. Al Harris came in. They tested him about three times. He had a pick, a PBU, and a tackle. Guess who they didn't test? And that's cool. That's how you're supposed to do it. So, yeah, you have to attack who's ever backing up Patrick Surtain. But you're also going to notice it's going to help the offensive line with the pass rush because he's not going to have all day. And when I say he, the quarterback, to sit in the pocket because, you just got to get rid of that ball and you got to understand that you don't have that all-pro cornerback covering your man.
I got one more question.
Go ahead.
Did you know Joe Louis was 76 years old when he fought Rocky Marciano?
Rocky Marciano. Every time you talk about boxing, one of
there
you non-brothers got to bring up
go.
Rocky Marciano.
He did beat Joe Louis' ass. Favorite? What's your favorite scene or favorite moment from coming to America?
Oh, there's my favorite moment. you know what? It was because I hated I almost said the N-word. I hated the brother with the curl. You know, the self-hate brother who hated Africa.
What do they call it? Soul Glow or something like that?
Soul Glow.
Daryl?
Yeah, Daryl.
So I hated him so much.
Chase the monkey?
Exactly. I wanted to, you know, at the time I was like 9 or 10, but I wanted to jump through the screen and just whoop his ass. So when Eddie Murphy finally bagged his girl, I was like, yeah, that's how we Nigerians do, you black Americans. When you hate on us, you think you're funny, but your girl's in our tore up apartment getting it on. So keep talking bad about us. But man, there's so many scenes in that
movie. Many.
I feel like I got a little insight into ND in college or something there when you were talking about that. ND, we appreciate you giving us some of your time, and hopefully we get to talk to you next week after yet another victory.
Man, y'all are so entertaining. Keep up the great work, and I'll talk to y'all next week.
Hey, we appreciate it. That's ND Kalu, former pass rusher in the NFL.
And never met Martin Luther the King.
That's right. And don't let him tell you any different. He ain't never met Martin Luther the King. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including I think that there's some more insight into the NBA probe or whatever. There's more names being floated around with this. I'll tell you about those, and we'll talk about some other things next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Thursday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. If you're tuning in on one of the more visual mediums, or if you saw Figgy Fig's post on social media at the Figgy Fig, you'll know that today is not Halloween. However, it's the day of our Odyssey Houston Halloween party. And so we're dressed up like characters from Coming to America here. And seems like you guys are enjoying it. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I anticipated it just to be really fun for us. And then you guys would just, you know, get a show. But like Curtis here on the YouTube page said, he's had a difficult week, but seeing the costumes and Figgy's video put a huge smile on his face. Thank you, guys. No, thank you, guys. I'm glad that you guys are enjoying it, because all we're doing is just quoting the movie in the breaks.
Yeah.
That's all we're doing.
And honestly, so we do the show when our party is happening.
Yeah.
So we can't really attend the show or the party. So we pretty much doing it for y'all, man. Yeah, that was kind of the motivation a couple years ago for me, where I'm just like, you know what? Let me do it for the YouTube.
And you was bad. Shut your mouth.
I was.
It was a most ripping victory.
It was a most ripping victory, indeed. So appreciate you guys enjoying that. Shout out to the Rockets getting a big time victory. Their first on the road this season, 139-121 in Toronto versus the Raptors. It was cool seeing a team, like seeing them actually have to deal with the team trying to go small on them. And the Raptors really did try and shoot the lights out of the ball to try and get over the top of the Rockets. They couldn't, though. The Rockets boat raced them, 139-121. They're 2-2 now. They have a couple days off until their next game in Boston versus the Celtics on Saturday. The thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit about this Rockets team, I don't know how much you care about this, but I will mention it. The NBA Cup groups have come out.
Oh, Lord.
Midseason tournament.
Lord almighty.
Oh, come on, man. What are you going to say about the NBA Cup?
It's not the excitement necessarily. You know me, though. I'm a sicko. I'm going to watch it and kind of care about this. However, to what degree you care? We have the groups, obviously, you know, in each conference, there's three groups, pods of five. The Rockets fall in West Group C.
Okay.
You want me to tell you who's in that group?
Yeah.
Clearly the Houston Rockets, the Portland Trailblazers, the Golden State Warriors, the San Antonio Spurs, the Denver Nuggets. That is a monster.
That is a monster. Yeah.
Of a group that you're going to have, you know, games with. And this is one of the things that's kind of not talked about a ton with the NBA Cup. That really does shift your strength of schedule quite a bit when your games in that group are now against the Nuggets, who are one of the better teams in the league. The Warriors, who, you know, if you look at power rankings, they're a top three team in the league. The Spurs, which Wemby. And then the Trailblazers that they're a little up and coming, but that's one out of those four teams that you're facing off against that you go, maybe they're all right. The rest of them, you go, this is a problem.
Well, it is a problem, but I think it's also like the NBA Cup.
It's a challenge.
You heard what I said. I went, oh, great. But I think the good thing about that stretch is you do get that test with teams that, you know, there's a little bit on the line. I think it's going to mean a little bit more for you against those teams. And, you know, San Antonio obviously starting out real well. Wemby sort of taking the the league by storm, as we expected. I don't disagree with that part.
Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that. We can move along because I know that you guys don't want me to break down all the NBA Cup implications.
Now, what about the other groups? No, just kidding.
You want me to rank the groups
for
you?
No, I can
rank the groups for you.
I know can, and I don't want you to do it.
All right, fair enough. Because that's when the big bucks start rolling. All right, let's roll over to another, you know, I guess, really interesting outcome that we got from yesterday in sports. The Toronto Blue Jays now lead, or they're one game away from a World Series championship after they end up beating the the Dodgers. Was this one 6-2 as well? I'm trying to recall what the final was. I just know that
wasn't it 6-1?
Once we got to the end of it, I was like, all right, so the Blue Jays have managed to do this. The most interesting thing, I think, from this game was Trey, how do we say his
Yesavage.
Last name? Yesavage?
Yeah.
22 years old, 12 strikeouts. And it's not like he's throwing gas.
Remember we were talking before the World Series even began that he was going to start game one, and here's a guy that started in A, went to high A, went to double A, went to triple A, went to the major leagues, went to the NLDS, went to the ALDS, ALCS, and then was going to start game one. Not only did he do all that, he set a record last night. I mean, he was, talk about spinning it, and I know that's a cliche, but to strike out 12? And then I saw them mention, you know, as we're watching this game, that he broke Don Newcomb's World Series record.
Ah, your good childhood friend, huh?
Well, no, but this is how long that record has been standing for a rookie strikeout in a World Series. Don Newcomb pitched in the Negro Leagues.
1949 is when that was set.
Well, yeah, that wasn't when he was in the major leagues.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He previously had pitched. That's how old the record is. He pitched in the Negro Leagues, and this guy is coming in doing the same thing.
Wild, wild. Now, of course, how often do you get rookies that are impactful enough to be part of a rotation in the postseason and are on a team that is going to get you to that place?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's kind of incredible. Lively fastball, devastating split finger is how he was described as. 23 swings and misses, which is the most by any pitcher. I'm not talking about a rookie. Mm-hmm. Any pitcher in a World Series game. In the tracking era, so going back to 2008.
And I will say this, I kind of switched my cheer. You know how you're like, okay, I want to see Shohei. And I was talking with some friends that
Let's
are
go
big
Dodgers.
I bet you were. I want to see Shohei get it. But over the course of these last two games, I'm like, all right, Toronto, let's get
Wait, what happened in the last two games, Figgy? the Dodgers lost the last two games?
Yes.
Yeah. But so you switched allegiances.
I did.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure the facts were.
Let's go Blue Jays.
I did. It kind of turned into that. I was like, because I love seeing you, Savage. Obviously, you know, Vlad Jr. just tearing it up. I forget the guy that stepped in for Springer with the leadoff home run. The manager Schneider seems to be just like a really good dude that is a hell of a manager. Like, I'm not gonna lie, maybe that should be a confession, but I was like, all right, I kind of want to see the Blue Jays win this thing.
That's the thing about watching the Blue Jays in this World Series and really leading up, but this World Series in particular. They're the type of team that I have no problem rooting for. Like, you just watch them and you go, this looks like championship behavior.
Mm-hmm.
The pitching has been incredible. Obviously, you can talk about Yesavage, but you can also go further back. The way that they exist at the plate, it just feels like it's not all bombs, even though you get bombs. Like, they get the bat flat through the plane and, you know, slash some balls into the outfield or just into the field in general. Like, they get guys on, they get them over. They have a general really fun demeanor as a team. They've got likable guys on the team and everything. So, I thought that this was really fun all the way across the board. They look like a championship team, and they're one win away from actually finishing off that championship-type run.
I think my hate for the Dodgers went up after this win last night.
Really?
Because I'm like, oh, yeah, they spent a lot of money on players. What they payroll is like over $1 billion at this point.
And I
would love to see them just lose the World Series.
Well, you know, and the other thing that kind of switched my allegiances as well, the Dodgers were playing some of the sloppiest baseball. It was like a spring training game on some of that. One of the runs – I think it was when they pushed it up to 3-1 or 4-1. When they pushed it up to 4-1, the Blue Jays had a walk, wild pitch, called it a pass ball, but it should have been a wild pitch to score a run. I mean, they're just playing sloppy, the Dodgers, man.
You know what Lopez said? I knew that kid was special. I knew it was something about that kid.
Something about that kid.
I bet you did. Another thing that I wanted to mention real quick here in what's popping, We've been following just kind of the hiring, firing cycle. I'll see if I have time to get to Jeff Landry because he is the governor of Louisiana.
We have to.
But I did want to give you this news. I don't know if you knew about it. This is part of why in our conversation about the hiring and firing, all this money keeps going up. Mm-hmm. Some of it is also when these jobs come open, all the most desirable candidates, schools get scared.
Yeah.
They want to hold on to them. Nebraska, in that vein, Matt Rhule doesn't seem like he'll be involved in these. As he signed a two-year contract extension this morning, it'll take him through the 2032 season. Includes a $15 million buyout this year. So unless teams are getting real bold about spending money on the front end to fire coaches, then spending more money to buy them out of their current contract, then signing them up for a big deal, Matt Rhule is probably off the table for Florida and Penn State and LSU.
Every time I see anything, whether it's a coach getting a buyout or a firing or a hiring or whatever, I think of Jimmy Sexton. This guy, he's the agent for the vast majority of coaches in college football. This dude is, he got his own money.
He has his own money,
he's got his
man
own,
got his own money.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Sexton.
A prince.
That's right.
All right, so you want to talk about Jeff Landry here?
This is crazy. Ahead and set it up.
This is just a level of insight into why LSU in particular, but I think coaching jobs in general, especially at the biggest state institutions, are tough. We look at the, you know, being able to recruit. We look at the on-field. We don't necessarily consider the political aspects of it, and both political and like a general sense of having to politic, but also literal politics that gets involved. This is the governor of Louisiana. Can you give me cut one? Talking about Scott Woodward, who is the AD there at LSU. Although, this is him pointing out what Scott Woodward has done in his tenure as an AD, both at LSU and in his previous stop.
We are not going down a failed path. And I wanted to tell you something. This is a pattern. The guy that's here now that wrote that contract cost Texas A&M $70-something million. Right now, we got a $53 million liability. We are not doing that again. And you know what? I believe that we're going to find a great coach. I mean, maybe we'll let President Trump pick it. He loves winners. You know, I'm not going to be picking the next coach. But I can promise you, we're going to pick a coach. And we're going to make sure that coach is successful. And we're going to make sure that he's compensated properly. And we're going to put metrics on it. Because I'm tired of rewarding failure in this country.
Okay, so the thing there that is an absolute joke. I'm not saying this is clown stuff, but he should have been wearing a big red nose when he was talking.
Okay.
You put metrics, and what he's talking about is we're not going to have a $55, $65 million buyout. In fact, there were other stories that I saw that they were like, they're going to have, you know, low buyouts and, smaller years in the contract. Good luck finding a coach.
Not going to be competitive.
Good luck finding a coach. But you're going to get, you know, the Kingwood Park, you know, high school coach to coach LSU. That's what you're looking at.
Some of that is the politics, though. Like, that's being in front of the microphone saying something that sounds good, but we all know that's not actually coming to fore.
It cannot happen. No coach worth their – you think Lane Kiffin, anybody – Any of those big-time coaches, you think they're going to go to LSU? Like, yeah, I'll sign up for a $5 million buyout.
Right. The whole idea is the buyout is supposed to be prohibitive so that the organization does not all willy-nilly just get them out of there for small perceived slights. That's kind of not how this happens. The thing that I found interesting about this, and of course entirely apolitical, but the idea of we're going to let Trump pick this, and my thought immediately was like, who would Trump pick? And I've got an answer, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you do?
U.S. Senator from Alabama, Tommy Tuberville.
Oh, God.
You are the next coach at Louisiana State University, LSU fans, let me know. How does that sound to you?
Yeah.
How does Tommy Tuberville at the top of this sound to you?
And Ed Orgeron, meanwhile, is still sort of making little hints about it. And I'm like, you do remember why he got fired, right? You
know, all they remember is that one night when who did they beat at Death Valley where it saved his job.
I don't know, but like he was having like side pieces show up at practice reportedly.
Hey man, it's Louisiana. Who amongst us? You know what I mean? Who amongst us did not have side pieces showing up to the job from time to time? You know. By the way, I won't play this audio. I'll just mention it. Governor Jeff Landry also said that Scott Woodward would not hire the next head coach. And if you didn't mention or pay attention to it in that last clip, he said the guy, that dude is done.
He's done.
You are done. I won't acknowledge you by name.
He's not hiring a coach. I mean, that right there.
You are done in these
You're
streets.
Done.
We haven't drawn up the paper yet, but you are out of there, big fella. Shout out to Louisiana State, man. This is the thing. If you're an LSU fan long time, you know this is how it goes. This is the mess. This is the swamp, right?
And you don't want to become a punchline, man. And that dude is making you a punchline.
It's fine. When they get back to winning on the field, everything will be all right there in Baton Rouge.
With the Kingwood Park coach?
They'll figure it out. The talent is still there in a good way. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, Miko Ryans talked to the Assemble Media yesterday. I thought it was a really good press conference, especially gearing you up for the Broncos. So let's revisit some of the things that D'Amico said next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.